If you don't look into the schedule teaching material, what is the main theme of this CYAC? What is the main theme of CYAC? Exalting salvation. Exalting salvation. 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 Come from where? Come from Jesus Christ, right? If there is no sin, there is no need for salvation. If nobody gets drunk, you no need to save the person, right? You can enjoy swimming in the swimming pool. If somebody gets drunk, but you need some kind of lifeguard, right, to save the person. If there is no fire, you don't have to call the fire department to come, right? So salvation comes from the fact that everyone has sinned. In the human history, can you find anybody who has no sin? In the human history, can you find any person who has no sin? Anybody who has no sin? Yes or no, or you don't know. Can you find any person who has no sin in the human history? Yes, no, you don't know, right? Can you find any person who has no sin? Yes, raise your hand. No, raise your hand. You don't know, raise your hand. Hey, nobody, what? You had the fourth choice. There's only one person who had no sin. Who? Jesus Christ. Other than him, everyone has sinned. Do you know what is superstition? Superstition is you worship something, but you cannot explain what you are doing. That's superstition, right? So your father, probably your father is still very contemporary. We will not worship the idol. Your father's father, right, probably idol worshiping, just follow the oriental traditional style. Right? But if you ask them, what are you worshiping? They cannot explain. Most of people, they cannot explain their religion. And they have a religion only for a purpose, what? Prosperity and peace. 发财保平安, right? Most of people worship God only for prosperity and peace. As long as I worship the God, I can have peace. I can make money. I don't care about what kind of God. No. Most of people doing it in that way. But the difference of Christianity is the faith we believe is explainable. You can use a spiritual understanding to understand it. So we are not doing the superstition. And the book of Romans is exactly to explain what is salvation. So if we understand the book of Romans thoroughly, then you will able to explain the salvation of God in depth. Now, if we look into the Romans chapter 1, 2, 3. First, the Bible used three chapters talk about one thing. We all have sinned. And based on the fact, and talk about the grace of salvation. If we read chapter 1 to chapter 3, you know, the reason God judged us to have sinned, you can come up at these two reasons. What are the two reasons? We have sinned. You can from two aspects to know it. You don't know it? The first one is the words of God. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 2. Verse 18. The book of Romans chapter 2, verse 18. And know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, have been instructed out of the law. He's talking about the Jews who has been instructed out of the law, so they know God's will. And that is the reason they know sin. So the first criteria we know whether we have sinned or not, it's based on the law of God, the words of God, the truth. The truth settled in heaven forever. According to Psalm 119, verse 89, the truth settled in heaven forever. Heaven means unlimited space. So the truth applied to unlimited space, from the moon to the earth, from the top mountain to the bottom of the ocean. Forever means unlimited timing. 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, now, or even the earth can last 1,000 years later, the standard of God is applicable to everywhere, to every nation, and that is a criteria to judge whether we have sinned or not. So this is the first criteria. The second criteria, let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 2. Verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will judge by the law. So those who don't have the law of God, right, even though they sin without law, will also perish without law. But those who sin in the law will be judged by the law. So, let's think about two things. A lot of people ask, for those people who never heard about the teaching of the Bible, it's unfair. How come God can use the Bible to judge them? Have you heard about this question? Probably some of you had this question, right? If you teach them and they don't want to obey it, then there's a way you can judge it. If you don't teach them and they, you judge them have sinned, it's not fair, right? But according to verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13, for not the bearer of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doer of the law will be justified. Now, verse 14, and when the Gentile who do not have the law by nature do the writing contained in the law, these, although not have the law, are the law to themselves. Verse 15, who show the work of the law written in their heart? And their conscience also bear the witness, and between themselves, their thought, accusing or else excusing them. So verse 14 and 15 is talk about what? It's talk about there's a natural law inside our heart. And what is a natural law? Is conscience. So conscience is part of the nature come from God. Even the Gentile, they don't know the law of God, but they still have the conscience. So God will judge either by his law in the Bible or judge by conscience. Right? For those who never listen to the teaching of the Bible, okay, God say, I judge you by your conscience. How many people can be saved? If God asks a question, from the time you are born until the time you die, those who never do anything against conscience can go to heaven. Who can go? Raise your hand. Who never do anything again, conscience can go to heaven. Who can go? Nobody. Right? So when you have guilty conscience, what do? You have sin. That divine nature condemns our sin. Right? Oh. So you know that the thief, before the thief steals something, right? The thief always what? Look around. Why? That's a conscience. To see if anybody looking. Nobody looking. They take something out. Oh. The conscience. Right? And the law above everything. So you know when we do the evangelical service, nowadays different from 100 years ago. 100 years ago, when we do the evangelical service, what do we do first? We have to tell them, you have sinned, right? But now, if you start the evangelical service with you have sinned the second night, everybody gone. Oh, nobody wants to listen, you have sinned. So there is a truth seeker you heard many times, right? Come to a church, say, oh, your church, the preacher is not good in preaching. How come? Because after I listen the preaching, I feel guilty. Oh, so in the other denomination, when you listen their gospel night, you feel so happy, you will never feel guilty. And which one is right? Right? No. Because the reason we need salvation, because we have sinned. When we have sinned, then we think we need to find some way out. And that's salvation. Now, so people don't like to listen the message of sin. Now, how come? They feel they have no sin. The two reasons. The first reason is the conscience is dead. So they feel no sin. One of the sisters one day come back from the family service that happened in Taiwan. And she found out that the door was opened. And all the drawer, all the cabinet, all the clothes had been what? Been dumped out. Like a trash can. Why? Because the thief break in her home. But among all the clothes, she found out there was a red envelope. For Chinese, red envelope means good luck, right? And inside the red envelope, and there was the thief gave him $40, about $40 Taiwan dollar, about $1. Why? Because the thief, after go through everything and find out the person is so poor, the thief have guilty conscience and give some money, right? So even the thief has a conscience, but the conscience is almost dead. So the reason the person has no guilty, don't feel sin, is the conscience already dead. It's just like a mirror, right? When you newly install a mirror, the mirror is very sharp. You look into a mirror, it can reflect to yourself. But after 1 month, 2 months, 10 months, you never clean the mirror, whatever. You look before the mirror, you see nothing. Why? Because it's covered by the dust. Our heart has been covered by sin. So our heart will never be sensitive to sin anymore. So that is the reason most of people don't feel sin in the world. You know, the conscience dead. Right? The conscience dead, another reason is, have you ever seen your insurance card? I forgot, it's Farmer or which insurance company. The front page of the card talk about your policy number, right? Your name, this and that, right? The back of the insurance card is when car accident happened, never admit you are wrong. Right? When car accident happened, if you admit you are wrong, then even the most powerful lawyer cannot do anything. But you never admit you are wrong, the powerful attorney can argue to a point that you have no sin. You don't have to pay anything. So this kind of legal system, of course, on the other hand, is good, but on the other hand, will make a lot of people conscience dead. When you have money, you can hire the best lawyer and argue for you to a point, hand jury, you have no sin. You can go. Right? So because of this, we don't know sin. The second reason is we lack an absolute standard. Now, law is not absolute standard. 100 years ago, the law is different from nowadays. The law in UK is different from the law in United States. So law is not absolute standard. The second, culture. Culture is not absolute standard. Culture is changing from time to time. 50 years ago, right, abortion is wrong. Right now, abortion is right. 50 years ago, homosexual is wrong. But right now, homosexual is legalized. So law and culture is keeping on changing. How about theological thought or philosophical concept? It keep on changing. So everything in the world is relative. Everything in the world is changing. So you cannot know sin by judging by the culture or the law or the philosophical thinking. No. Everything is relative. Now, only one thing absolute, and that is the words of God. So the reason the people in the world don't know sin is because they lack the words of God. So that means they don't know sin. And under the words of God, sin can be understood in two ways. Can you find it? Sin can be understood in two ways. First John, can you find it? What is sin in the First John? First John, right? After 1, chapter 1. Can you find it? You cannot find it after chapter 2. You still cannot find it? How to define sin? Before chapter 5. Still cannot find it? Before chapter 4. So can you find it? After chapter 2, before chapter 4. Right, what is sin? Before verse 7. Can you find it? Still cannot find it? What is sin? Verse what? Huh? Verse 4. Can you read aloud? Sin is lawlessness. Sin means you do something against the law. And the law here, of course, generally speaking, the words of God. But if you want to make it more specific, it means what? Ten Commandments. Sin is against Ten Commandments. So one day, one of the workers told me, "Do you know there's a new way of evangelical preaching evangelical way? What is the new way? Ten Commandments. Preaching with the Ten Commandments. First Commandment. What is First Commandment? Only one God. Do you worship God? No, you have sinned. Second Commandment. What? Do not worship idol. Do you worship idol? Yes, you have sinned. Third commandment. Do not call the name of God in vain. Use the name of God in vain? The fourth commandment, Sabbath, right? Every commandment, if you think about deeper, we always offend God, right? So there was a brother about I don't know how long ago, at least 5 years ago, during the NYTS, he testified the sin he committed. I never heard anyone, Holy Spirit, move him to testify the sin he committed. And what he's talking about is from the first commandment to the tenth commandment. And the reason he testified the sin he committed, because he wants to the attendant know the grace of God is greater than sin. Because even though we commit sin every day, but God forgive us every day. Right? So sin is lawlessness. You know the words of God? You violate the words of God, then it's sin. Another definition of sin, the book of James. Can you find it? After chapter 1. Still, can I find it? After chapter 2. What is sin? Can I find it? Before chapter 5. What is sin? After chapter 3. Then what is it? Chapter 4, verse 17, right? So what is sin? If you know what is good, but you fail to do it, then you have sinned, right? Honor your parent is something good, right? But I fail to do it. I never curse my parents. I have never physical abuse my parent. But when my parent in need, I fail to help, and I have sinned. You know what is good, you fail to do it, then it's sin. Of course, in this paragraph, what is good? Good means honor God as your Lord. He is in control of everything. If we fail to honor him, just like a businessman, he makes all the planning. This year I'm going to there to go there and live 1 year and do the business, earn the money and enjoy my life. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? If you use a Gmail, you look into your Google calendar, right? The whole year you plan this and that, you already plan, right? Make a long plan. 2 years plan, 3 years plan, right? After college, graduate, I'm going to study in what? Graduate study, right? What's wrong with the planning? According to verse 13 to 16, there's one thing wrong. Because the businessman thought he is in control of himself. He is in control of his future. It's wrong. Why? We can only say, if it is God's will, we can live tomorrow. If it is God's will, we can do this and do that. If it is God's will, means God is in control. So we have to honor him as the law, and this is something good. If we fail to do it, we have sinned. So in verse 16, talk about what? You are arrogant and boast, and this is evil. Why? We deny the authority of God, and which is good, right? So there are two criteria to judge what is sin. Right? If we do something against the law, we have sinned. If we, according to the law, is something good, we fail to do it, we have sinned. So these are two criteria to judge, right? Now, sin is like what? According to the Bible, can you use two parables to describe about sin? Sin is what? Jesus Christ proclaim in the, I think, Pharisees' family, right? Or sinner's family. Say, only the sick person needs what? Physician. When you're healthy, did you pay your copayment and go to see a doctor? And doctor, where do you come here? Because I don't know. No. You see a doctor because you have sickness, right? And Jesus say, only the sick person needs physician means what? That sickness referring to what? Sin. Physician referring to himself. He is the one who can heal our sin. So Pharisees don't need Jesus because Pharisees consider himself has no sin. And the most terrible thing is you have cancer. Because if you detect in early stage, it's still curable. The most terrible thing is you have cancer, but you don't know you have cancer. That's terrible, right? One day you die, you still don't know why you die. The sin is the same. If I know I have sin, I still have a way to go. Jesus Christ. But the most terrible thing is I have sin, but I don't know I have sin. That means I have sickness, but I don't know this. I have sickness. That is no cure. No. So sin is sickness. And this sickness, just like what? Leprosy. Do you know leprosy? Leprosy is incurable. Oh, leprosy sometimes, oh, your nose will be rotten, your ear will be rotten, your finger will be rotten, your toe will be rotten. You look like a man, but you look a very different man, right? You have been what? Decomposed. Looks different than a human being. Sin make a person looks like not a human being with a thickness, with a dignity. Why? If you're a human being, why you have to do things so violently? If you are a human being, how come you curse? Right? It doesn't look like a human being. It looks like an animal. Oh, we behave by our own instinct. Oh. So sin is sickness. The first parable, the sickness is incurable. The second parable, sin is like what? In Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts, like what we forgive our debtors, right? Sin is debt. You know, using the credit card is very good, right? So when you reach to high school, the bank start to send you what application of credit card. Oh. Let me ask you, anyone who have more than 5 credit cards, raise your hand. Oh, that's good, right? You can use this one, right? You buy a lot of stuff. Now, when you are spending the money, it's so easy. You just make a sign, then you can have a new iPhone, new iPad, new this and that, right? But the most terrible thing is what? When the statement comes. You are indebted. When you are students, you are indebted. What you do? There are 2 ways to do, right? 3 ways to do. The first way is ask your parent to pay for it. If you really love me, pay my debt. The second way you can do what? Part-time work. Why you have to work so hard, right? Your parents say, I provide all your needs. Do you know I work so hard because I have to pay my mobile phone bill. Oh, right. Yeah. So the third way to do, you should not do it, right? Right. Declare bankruptcy. Right? So sin is debt, and this debt will follow you even after you die. Oh. So it's so terrible. Sin like a sickness. Sin is like a debt. Oh, now, let's come back to the book of Romans. Then how come we human beings, we have sin? Where comes the sin? Right? How come God created the person who has sinned? We have a lot of questions like this, right? If we read the book of Romans, talk about sin, start from chapter 1, verse 18. Start from verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attribute are clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. He'll talk about the existence of God and God's nature, God's power is undeniable. I see you, but I never see your parents. Can I say you have no parents? You have no parents, there's only one person, God himself, right? So even though we don't see your parents, your existence is to prove what? You have parents. You look into the GA building, right? The new buildings. So wonderful, right? Did you see the constructor? Constructor? No, you didn't see it. It had been completed a few years ago. But you cannot say because everybody pray hard, so all of a sudden that building come up. No. We spent about 1.2 or 1.3 million to build that building. We pay the money and build it. You look into the parking lot, a lot of cars, right? Where comes the parking lot? Where comes the car? It comes from what? The manufacturer, right? Toyota, Ford, this and that, right? Oh, But when we see the universe, it is proof there is God, and God is so great, so powerful. He is his creation you can never understand. And sin comes from where? Sin comes from denying the existence of God. You intentionally ignore the existence of God. And that was the beginning of sin. Do you know Adam and Eve? Did Eve love Adam? I always ask a question. Did Eve love Adam? Did Adam love Eve? Did Adam love Eve? Yes, when Adam say, look at Eve, this is my bone and bone, right? Fresh and fresh. This comes from love, right? But did Eve love Adam? Yes or no? Or you don't know? Did Eve love Adam? When you really love a person, you want to share something, right? One day we were in Ghana. We brought the Africa worker together to have a fried chicken. To them, fried chicken is number one. So all of a sudden, before we finish, the Africa worker already finished all the chicken, even the bone disappeared. Hey, it's to them, it's so delicious. They chew up and eat up all the bone. And we ask them, how come you eat it so fast? He say, oh, I still have another piece of fried chicken. I'm going to bring to my co-worker. Right? Because they have some kind of holy work there. I was very touched. Love means to share something good, right? So if you really love the brothers and sisters, you will share something good. So Adam shared the fruit with Adam. Eve shared the fruit with Adam. And when Adam eat, what happened? Adam died. Right. So sin, when you start to ignore the presence of God, when we start to ignore the judgment of God, when we start to ignore the consequence before God, and that was the beginning of sin. So morality comes from where? Morality comes from God. If you take God away, the morality will keep on dripping. 1960s. The Supreme Court in the United States tried to separate education, the school from religion. So everything related to God has been removed. Ten Commandments have been removed. Prayer have been removed. Even the textbook. They rewrite the textbook. Anything related to religion, even the first wave of immigrants from the United Kingdom, it's come from religious reason. But if you look into the text, you cannot see it. They try to educate the next generation religion free. And what had happened? After 1960s until now, the condition in the campus deteriorate. Right? The 1960s, they have to correct the student mistake. What? When in a cafeteria, they don't kill. Or they chew the chewing gum to the grass. That's all. Or are they fighting, right? Right now, what is the problem in the school? They bring the gun and shooting, right? A lot of stuff happened. Why? Because the people's heart had no God. And that's the beginning of sin. So this is the first one. Sin comes from ignoring the existence of God and divine nature. And then, because they did ignore the existence of God, and then what happened? You look into verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but become futile in their thought, and their foolish heart were darkened. So you say, once we start to ignore God, our heart become darkened. And verse 22, professing to be wise, they become fool. Fearing God is the beginning of what? According to the proverb, fearing God is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Yes. So once a person ignore God, even though the person feel I'm very smart, in the eyes of God, the person is foolish. No. Right? And once a person ignore God, the person's heart become darkened. Darkened means you cannot see anything clear because there's no God. And that, well, the beginning of deviation of our life. If I have God, God control me. I follow God's instruction. I'm the smartest one. If I deny God, I ignore God, I control my future. Who am I? We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. Who am I to lead my own future? So we are gone astray. Further and further away from God. And that kind of life is meaningless. That kind of life is in vanity. So this is the first one. And the second one, yeah, you read verse 24. Chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God also give them up to the uncleanness. Give them up happened for three times. So some people ask, if there is Almighty God, how come God allow human being to sin? Right? Allow human being to sin. It's very similar to sometimes your parents, right? Some people ask, if your parents is love you so much, how come your parents allow you to do that? To play the what? TV game, to play the internet game for all night, even without sleep, right? I look you, you're very skinny, probably not because study too hard. Probably play the TV, internet game for whole night, don't sleep, all right? Not because your parents allow you to do that, do you know? Your parents keep you up, keep up on you, right? Your parents keep on saying, no, don't play the TV game, don't play the internet, don't get it online so long, right? But after your parents nagging, right, and strain the relationship, still you don't want to change, then what? Your parents keep up to you. Whatever you want to do, just do it. You bear your own consequence. That exactly is the same. God keep them up means what? Because God keep on use the conscience to remind us. God keep use the people to remind us. God keep use the prophet to remind us. But we still don't want to follow his teaching. We still want to do our own way. And later on, God said, give up to you. Whatever you want to do, just do it. You bear your own consequence. So how come sin prevail in the world? Because God give them up. So three times the Bible talk about God give them up. And one of the things mentioned here is homosexual. Verse 26 to 28:7, homosexual. Do you know, man get rid of the woman is the design of God. This is the nature. And man married with a man is against the human nature. Woman married another woman is against human nature. Just last month, I went to Argentina, and there was I sit in the exit row, and there was another person, a gentleman, sit beside me. And he asked me a question, can my husband switch the seat with you? I keep on thinking, what does that mean? You are a man, can my husband switch seat with you? Oh, I think a long time I realized, his husband is what? Homosexual. So right now it's become common. God keep them up. But from the time of Mosaic law, the homosexual had to be stoned to death. In the time of Paul, the same thing. How come homosexual is right now is okay, it's fine, right? It's wrong. But people keep on doing this, just keep them, God keep them up. You just do whatever you do want to do. And then verse 28. They start to do a lot of unlawful things. And then start from chapter 2, verse 17, the same thing. The Jews are no better. Do you know what the Israel means? What the term of Israel means? Jacob was changed to the name of Israel. What does Israel mean? the prince of God, right? The prince of God means very nobles, right? So Israel consider themselves the prince of God. All of non-Israel are Gentile. But in reality, in the eyes of God, Israel are no better. They still do the same thing. Why? Because after Adam and Eve commit sin, right? Sin came to the world. We all controlled by sinful nature, even including the Israel. Even the law has been given to them, but they commit sin every day because of sinful nature there. So everyone has sin, all sin. Verse 2, point 2. The consequence of sin, the first one is we break our relation with God. So God's wrath is upon us every day, and we are facing God's judgment. So if we don't deal with sin properly, the time we die is the time we will face the judgment. The second one, men suffer. Because of sin, we suffer. The first one in Genesis chapter 1, because of sin, we lose dignity and we lose the true value of human being, which is God's image. So we become a person with no dignity. We become a person who has no value. Why? Because of sin. The second one, because of sin, so we suffer. You know, because of sin, so many things, right? Some people break into your internet account. Some people break into your car, steal this and that, all your ID. So you suffer, right? Because of sin, so marriage breakups. Because of sin, family become chaotic. Because of sin, we suffer a lot. All because of sin. So affliction. The last thing will last forever, the consequence. Because of sin, we die. Oh, and God's answer to sin is gospel. So gospel is for salvation. And the central figure of gospel is Jesus Christ. So God's answer to sin is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If it's not through me, nobody can return to the Father. Jesus is the only one way that can bring us back to God. He's the only one way of salvation. So God's answer to sin is salvation in Jesus Christ. And man's response to God's plan. How can we respond to God's plan of salvation to save us out of sin? Justification by faith. And that is the main theme of the book of Romans. We need to have faith. Now, faith about what? Believe in Jesus. Believe he is the Savior. And follow his word. And then we can be saved out of our own sin. Now, let's pray in silence.